Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Trek Talk with Tech and Kirk. I'm Techman16.
And I'm Strange Kirk.
Today we have a special guest with us today, the Admiral of Rights Alliance, or Riders on the Storm, is Mara Jade. Mara, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. Thank you for asking. So today we want to talk about a few things. First of all, obviously, we want to know how you got into Star Trek, who are your favorite characters and your favorite series. And then we want to go in a little bit of a different direction, and we want to know how Star Trek has really impacted your life to date. So what's your favorite character and what's your favorite series? Let's start off with that.
Well, my favorite series would have been toss up between Enterprise and TNG. My favorite character would have been T'Pol, just because she's hot as hell.
Yeah, that's a good reason. I like that. And
yeah, Orion's good too, but I don't know. There was something about T'Pol when it was in the decontamination scene with Captain Archer that really caught my attention about her.
Yeah, that was what, like the third episode of Enterprise, I believe.
Third one, yes.
And so, how did Star Trek really affect your life?
Well, it broke down walls. I mean, you had the first interracial kiss between Kirk and Uhura. My dad was a big TOS fan. So, of course, growing up, we always watched it when it was on. And he liked all the movies. My favorite movie they ever did was The Voyage Home. Yeah, with the whales. And Scotty made that one just with his There Be Whales Here. But it wasn't until, yeah, that's my favorite one. There'd be whales here. But it wasn't really until TNG came along that it really caught my attention, because there was more diversity amongst the crew. It wasn't just a whole bunch of humanoids from Earth and one Vulcan. You had Worf, you had Data, you had Vulcans all over the place, different species interacting with each other. So it showed more diversity. It was kind of something that Gene Roddenberry had wanted, but of course, at the times he couldn't do it because there's huge restrictions. And one of the biggest things that Gene Roddenberry had always said was he wanted more LGBT inclusiveness within the series. And he was hoping by season 5 of TNG to incorporate that. Of course, in 1991, he died, and it never fully materialized. The closest they came was an episode called Outcast, where it was a character who was male but identified as female. So it would be the closest they ever came to the first transgender character who had an interest in Riker. And Jonathan Frakes himself had even said, like, you know, they should have made this character more masculine to really put the point across.
Is that with the androgynous alien?
Yes, yes, that's the one. And that one really spoke to me, being a trans female. It's the closest they came to hitting home to how I feel. Then there was the episode New Ground with Alexander, when he first came aboard the Enterprise after he'd been on Earth, and he's got a hard time adjusting to people around him and trying to figure out where he fits in. And with trans, not just trans female, but it's more specified to trans female, but trans males as well get it, but not as bad. There is an exclusionary outside in the real world that you always encounter. I mean, I've been called everything from a chick with a dick to a tranny, which are really offensive. Anyone in the male spec wants to say ladybird, that's offensive too, just so you know. But when you watch the series and you see how these characters kind of push through and adapt themselves to their surroundings and grow, it kind of helps you push beyond, because my goal isn't to match their standards, but to be the best person I can be. And Alexander's goal was to be the best Klingon he could be, instead of trying to match what his human counterparts are doing.
Do you remember watching the episode with when they first introduced the Trill?
Not off the top of my head.
In TNG, O'Don, the ambassador O'Don.
Okay.
and he had a fling with a Beverly Crusher, but then he was injured, and his symbiote had to be replaced, and it was placed into a female.
Mm-hmm.
There were other things in play, like network TV and sensors and whatnot. But do you think that episode kind of missed the mark with trying to show that there's an openness to various relationships that can occur once you're out in space and have a federation with different creatures and whatnot?
Yeah, they missed the mark because you're initially programmed to understand that this character was male and then passed away. And it's like an incarnation. Whereas if the character had been female to start with, it would have been a completely different dynamic. There's an episode with Data's daughter when Law was created, and they wanted Whoopi Goldberg to say, you know, like, when a man and a woman are in love. And she had a problem with that role because herself being a lesbian, she says, well, that's not how it viewed is. How would you say when two people are in love? And she had to fight for that. And I think Paramount really had an issue with it. But Whoopi Goldberg stood her ground and said, like, given how old Guinan is, this is how she would say it. She's lived through the cosmos more longer than most of these people have. And that would be her view of it, that when two people are in love. Which again kind of goes against it because then you got polyamorous, which is more than two people. But that, I think, was a good step in the right direction. So they have man and woman. It kind of expanded beyond that to include when two people.
Did you also watch DS9?
I was not a big fan of DS9. I couldn't get it. I've caught some of the episodes. I know about the whole Bajoran and Cardassian conflict they had. I know about Otto, and of course everybody knows Quark.
Right. There was an episode again dealing with the Trill with past lifetimes, and I believe Jadzia's former host, the old man, Curzon Dax, had a relationship with, I believe, a woman that was his wife at some point. And she came back, she came to DS9, and Jadzia, the new host, still had feelings for her because he's a Dax, and they shared, I believe, was probably the first same-gender kiss on TV. But that was highlighted as Terry Farrell's, who played Jadzia, as her favorite episode, even though she herself is not interested in women. But it just, you know, put the point across that people can love and have feelings for whoever they choose to, rather than, you know, what is a societal norm.
Well, and that's it. And there's a lot of actors in Hollywood who are big on the diversity and the inclusiveness. But they've also got to contend with what the producers and the writers do. There was an interview, I believe it was in The Advocate, with some of the writers from TNG, and they said, like, you know, we failed at including it because to them, they couldn't write from, say, a lesbian's point of view or a homosexual's point of view or a trans person's point of view because they haven't experienced it. So unlike a lot of places, they actually acknowledge their own failings at trying to acknowledge it, but they have tried in a roundabout way, again, because of Paramount, to address the issues of it. I think there was Deep Space Nine had an episode, there was one who had made reference to having a wife that had died in a war. And again, references, but you don't actually see these couples together. And then there was, again, you had George Takei come out, which for the community was really huge. And I keep trying to remember his name the other day when we were speaking. Who played Spock in the new one?
Zachary Quinto.
Zachary Quinto, yeah. So when he came out, and again, it's a huge boost for his community because now there's these actors saying, yes, you know what, this is who I am. Take it, leave it, love it, hate it. I am who I am.
And I think that is very important for people to be able to be who they are, no matter what you believe or what path you follow. Going back a little bit, because we kind of zoomed ahead a little bit here, I have a question that I want to ask you. When we discussed childhood, at what point do you, if it's best to your recollection during your childhood or during your life, was when it finally clicked that Star Trek was probably, when you figured out that Star Trek was a place for everyone and everyone had a place in that universe, do you remember about what time that was?
It would have been the first launch of TNG.
Okay, so.
Again, as the chef alluded to, it was pretty much Kirk banging every chick across the universe. was very
not every chick. He didn't get a few. All right, there were a few he didn't get.
Well, those are the ones they edited that he tried to edit out and they wouldn't let him. But TNG, the very first one, because right off the bat, you see the diversity amongst the crew. You know, and same thing with Voyager, because Voyager was good. And it was even then, with Janeway playing captain, it's a female lead. And even right to the end, she said they were dubious of her ability to do it. Because, you know, they had no problem with a subordinate being black or Asian or female. But it was the first time that a female had been given lead control over a Federation starship.
Right. Okay. So what... Let me ask you this: there's a question that I've been thinking about during this interview. Have you found that, or have you noticed that within the Star Trek fan base, within the Star Trek universe, do you find more acceptance within that universe with the fans and the rest of us, the so-called Trekkies, than you do with a lot of other maybe hobby-based universes and things of that nature?
Yeah, I actually do, which is funny because I'm a huge Star Wars fan, clearly given the name of Mara Jade. But there's always been this divide, and it's not any fault for Lucasfilm or George Lucas himself, but they steered away from LGBT. And I think the fan base amongst Star Trek is probably bigger for the LGBT community than, you know, say Star Wars or Lord of the Rings.
Okay. And that is something that is interesting to me. It's something that I've noticed just being a Star Trek fan for so long. It seems as though true Trek fans are a lot more accepting of people from all walks of life. I've said it, I believe I mentioned it in the first episode. You know, I've been to get-togethers and Trek gatherings where you'll have people who may believe in the completely different things, different ways of life, but they're able to sit down and find a common ground with their favorite hobbies, which are Star Trek. And I think that it's great that we're able to do that today and sit down and talk to you and hear your story and some of the things that you've had to go through and some of the things that you've been able to draw inspiration from the Trek universe. And so I just think it's a wonderful thing. And I'm just glad that we're here today to be able to talk about that. Now, one more thing that I want to bring up. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
But it's also fitting because it is Pride Month.
It is Pride Month. That is definitely, it's kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Was it serendipitous, maybe? I don't know. We'll go with that. So I think it is a great thing. And I hope that people listen to this and definitely take something away from it. But so going into when we talked about some of the diversity and things of that nature, within the next generation, do you feel that they've, within the Trek universe, do you think that they've followed the same progression or has it stagnated? Because I will go to, which publicly people know, it's one of my least favorite Star Trek shows, if not, it is my least favorite Star Trek show, which is Discovery. But in Discovery, they have a very open gay couple.
Gay couple, yeah.
And I have watched all of Discovery, even though it's not my favorite. I thought that it was done very well. It was very tasteful, and I think they did it in a way that tackled the issue that did not seem, for lack of better terminology, preachy. It didn't feel like they were trying to, you know, shove information down your throat. They presented it in a way that it was entertaining, but also shed light on a still very sensitive issue.
Well, and that's it. I mean, if you think back at some of the shows that you could classify really as being part of the trans community. You got Bosom Buddies with Tom Hanks, where they dress up as women. You have Tootsie with Dustin Hoffman, where he dressed as a woman. That was okay because you were making fun of them. As the times have progressed, it's like, okay, that's not the best way to do it. And instead of making it kind of a campy, freaky sideshow of it, Discovery, as you said, took a more elegant approach to it and didn't cram it down your throat saying, this is it, like it.
I think that's very important because so many people, I was having this conversation with a good friend of mine the other day. So many people don't understand that the best way to sway someone to your side is to make sure that you also do not put them on the defensive. Make sure that you don't offend them, because when someone feels offended, they're going to lash out irrationally a lot of the time. So they're going to blindly defend their point because they feel attacked. And when someone feels attacked, they defend themselves. So if I'm trying to convince you, or not even convince, let's just say show you that there's no difference between the relationship that I have with someone, the relationship that you have with someone, I feel like it's important to just show it in a normal light. And like you said, not cram it down someone's throat, because then people are already uneasy because it's not something, maybe they were raised that way. Maybe they had parents who preached this, you know, kind of single-mindedness. Maybe they had people in their family who were not accepting of various cultures and groups. So even if it's something that they may be interested in learning, it's still very sensitive for them. They're afraid because it's something that they are not aware of. They're not informed. So if I try to force something upon you that you're not educated about, you're going to become defensive. And I think 9 times out of 10, that's going to be the truth. So I'm glad that you said that, because I do feel the same way. And I'm very happy at the way they portrayed it. And I really don't think that I could, just as the lay viewer, I don't think that I could critique it and suggest anything else. I think it was done in a very tasteful way. And I think that it spoke to me, even as someone who is accepting of other people. I think I was still able to take something away from it.
Well, and that's it. Like, it's not about convincing someone or showing something, because everyone's entitled to an opinion. The opinion is valid. And it's often misquoted. I'm going to quote it wrong as full tear. I may not agree with what you say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it. You know, like, we've all had relatives who have fought in wars for our rights to be who we are and the freedoms to be who we are. And, you know, this is where we find ourselves today. You know, it's different from what it was in the 50s, different from the 60s, 70s, 80s. And going back, you can see the progression just in society itself.
I want to touch upon a little more. You mentioned that you are trans, and I assume that you've had a little more difficulty going through life than most people who, you know, aren't, if you will. And I kind of want to bring it back to Trek a little bit and ask you, what characters do you draw strength from so that you can live the best way you can live?
I would draw inspiration from Seven of Nine and T'Pol. Again, it's the Vulcan philosophy of trying to keep a level headed and look at everything logically. I mean, there were times in the beginning you go shopping and you could feel all these eyes on you and you just want to have a panic attack. You know, and the logical side of the Vulcan would be, well, you know, they may or may not, you know, what's it to them, how you look like, you know, your life doesn't impact what they're doing. Just continue on your own track or path, if you will. And Seven of Nine trying to discover who she was outside of the Borg and trying to understand how everyone interacted and connected to each other. You know, so instead of being closed-minded, she was open to discovering what kind of made everyone tick. You know, because everyone, you guys, I'm sure you said, everyone's got a story to tell.
We do. And that's why we're glad to have you here to tell us your story. So Seven of Nine, and looking at her character, she was, I want to say, when I first watched Seven of Nine, getting past her, you know, outer beauty, she herself was a very closed-minded individual because all she knew was the collective and everybody's drone.
Yeah.
It does like a specific function and then you're done. And did you feel that way at some point where you had to really understand and push back certain barriers, or is it just her progression of her character arc where she basically has to learn to walk through, you know, social skills, if you will, to act the way she does?
Well, you always have to push back. I mean, like, I've been in Walmart and I've been called sir, and I've pulled my ID out and saying, what the fuck did this say? That's got an F right there, not an M. I told one lady, you've got a bigger mustache than I have. And I come close one day to pulling my breast out and saying, these are real honey. So it, you do kind of reach that breaking point. Then you got to, again, as 7 of 9, kind of progress on your own to figure out how you're going to do it. Because it doesn't matter how many times you tell people who you are, they just, some are just aren't going to get it.
So when you say that, I guess it comes when we were talking earlier and what we were mentioning about people should not necessarily agree. You don't have to agree. Like you said, everybody's entitled to the opinion. Mm-hmm. But they're also like buttholes, and everybody has one, and everybody thinks everybody else stinks. Anyway, I digress. So moving on.
Yeah, an asshole, some are better than others.
Yeah. So the question that I would have is that, do you find that with so much of the, not even just hate, but the ignorance that you have to deal with, and we have to remember that ignorance is not necessarily a negative thing. It just means you're not aware. You don't know.
Yeah, not always bliss.
So the ignorance that you have to deal with, do you find that you have to also adjust your way of accepting the fact that some people are just ignorant of the fact and that they may not mean it in a negative light? Have you noticed that?
Oh yeah, for sure. And again, like if someone doesn't get it, you know, you can either educate or ram it down their throats. You know, there's a right way and a wrong way to approach it. You know, some people just take the wrong way.
And as we discussed earlier, ramming it down someone's throat usually ends up in an offensive defensive position.
Yeah,
it actually has anybody. The opposite effect.
Right, right. So that was what I wanted to touch on, was that. And so people hearing it also understand that someone, no matter the situation, maybe it's a completely different situation, it has something to do with work and they're just not getting it. If you become aggressive, people will become defensive. And then you're no longer educating that person. All you're doing is just beating your head against the wall, and it's an exercise in futility.
Yeah.
Well, you're also helping them retreat to their shelter of their, you know, either misguidedness or their ignorance. If you keep
you're helping prove their viewpoint of how they view you. You're just reinforcing the view.
Indeed.
Coming back to 7 of 9 a little bit, because she is a very interesting character, because she had that really poorly crafted story arc with Chakotay, and then now in Picard, you see that she is a lot more comfortable in her own skin, and she is an LGBT character. So,
yeah, she had the hot for you anyway.
my question is, like, there's a progression of time, right? It's been 20 years, yeah. And she acts more human as opposed to Borg, and she's had a relationship with this Vajazzel character, Vajazzel or whatever it's called. And she obviously feels a lot more comfortable in her own skin now. And is that the same for you?
It takes a while to be comfortable who you are. A lot of people who are trans either end up becoming themselves or they end up dead. Just because it's a lot of them live where they can't be who they want to be. You know, you got to learn to say, you know what, fuck you, it's my life, this is what makes me happy. And I mean, there's days I go out, I don't look my best, or, you know, I can't find something that's going to fit right or look right, and I don't want to go anywhere. You know, thankfully I have a very loving wife who, you know, kind of encourages me to go out regardless, you know, just be yourself. And we've done that, we've gone out shopping, people just staring at me, and she'll just glare them right down. You know, I think so. Having somebody who's supportive and being who you are and accepting you for who you are goes a long way. I mean, I got lucky. There's a lot of people who get married, and when they come out as trans, their marriage completely falls apart. You know, like my wife and I have been together for over a decade. We've been married for almost 4 years now.
Congratulations.
I keep thinking it gets better every year as it goes. She's happy. She likes wearing it anyway.
So to anybody listening who has questions about who they are and potentially live a hidden, you know, they're not true to themselves, What advice would you give them about expressing who they want to be, or how they should go about loving who they are?
Well, a lot of it comes down to how old they are and where they live. For a lot of trans females, if you're in a very closed-minded, I guess, if you will, family, you can start with little simple things like maybe growing your hair longer, clear nail polish, like just little things that kind of make you feel a little more feminine. If you're in, and it's always scary the first time you ever come out with somebody. I mean, it's, you know, thankfully with my wife, she already kind of had an inkling. Some of my friends growing up already had an idea. Because I told the one friend when I was 16, if I were a female, I'd be a lesbian. So a lot of my friends knew before I even knew. If you have a good support network, just be yourself, honey. That's all I can say. You know, there's a lot of resource centers out there. Research, read. Because when I first started looking into transgenderism, the original definition over a decade ago didn't match how I felt. And as time goes on, that kind of changes and the umbrella spectrum kind of becomes wider. So find a resource center nearby. Even if you think you're straight, you're heterosexual, nothing stops you from going into a local LGBT community center. They've got materials. You can talk to the people in the community because most of us don't bite. Some do, but that's out of fun. But most important thing, be yourself, live your life. If you try and hide who you are, you're going to eat yourself up inside. Just be yourself.
So let's come back to Fleet Command, because we all play Fleet Command a little bit. And how did you get into Star Trek Fleet Command, and how do you like playing the game?
I actually enjoy playing the game. There's a lot of glitches I can do without. Every time Scopa does a survey, the only positive I can really tell them is their ships are pretty. I got into playing it because I was playing Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes, and the grind in that game became too tedious. So I thought, I'm going to find something else kind of more interesting. And then I tried this Fleet Command because it kept popping up as advertising. And when I first joined Fleet Command, I was in an alliance called Gaze, which is now GLaAS, and I met Palpatine, who spent a good majority of time chasing our ships across the systems. And it became that banter back and forth in Galaxy Chat that really kind of engaged, because you didn't have that Galaxy Chat in the Star Wars game. It was just you and your clanmates. That was it. You didn't interact with anyone else in the game. So it became very stagnant. So I found the interaction with other people in the other alliances rather interesting. I mean, like I said, there's people that I speak to outside of the game. Like, I speak to Tapia. I'm sorry to root at Tapia. People think you're a bit of a dick and a douche, but I think you're quite a nice, sweet guy. You're nice and friendly, so reputation ruined. Same with Chef and Joker. Like, they always looked out for me when I was a lower level. And again, it comes down to, if you treat people like dirt with respect, they're going to respect you back. It's a player versus player war game. We are an ROE alliance and riders, but we're not above coming back at you. I always tell people, you know, we're like one step above dirt. We've got the little minor ROE. Other than that, it's just pretty fair open range. Just give what you get and expect to get it back if you give it first. So yeah, as it progressed, you got to speak to more people. You get to meet people like Cook and Salisbury, who post up the food they make. And they posted the one burger Salisbury did that actually made me hungry. So there's a lot of interesting people you meet in the game, and then you meet them on Discord, and you get to know more about them. And that's something you don't have with the Star Wars game I played. Because we had our Star Wars Discord, but that was it. There was no, because of the way the game format was, you didn't interact with any other alliances, so you had no naps, you had no ally agreements. It was just you and 49 other people, and that was it. here, it's you and however many you have in your alliance, plus umpteen thousands of millions out in the GC and then on Discord. So it's actually a bigger universe.
Now, in this game that we play here, Star Trek Fleet Command, we've had some conversations, but have you encountered any sort of negativity when you've been able to actually open up to people and people learn, discover, you know, who you are as a person and things like that?
No, for the most part, the people on Starfleet or Star Trek Fleet Command that know I'm trans are pretty cool with it. You know, like there's again, like I said, I was in Gays, which was as Glass. They were an LGBT alliance. Riot was before it dissolved. Again, there were some people that were in the Immortals in it that I went into later on. There were some in there that were aware of it. And they were like, you know what? It's a game. They don't, you know, who cares what your identity is, what your gender preference is, what your sexuality is. We're all here playing the same damn game.
The only thing we care about is, the only thing we discriminate is whether or not you leave your shield down.
Yeah. Or dry hit if you're in an ROE alliance.
Or Scopely, don't forget.
Yeah, Scopely. Well, like you said, the chef, you know, get your miners out, leave them out for Chef to pop.
I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah.
Well, anytime Scopely makes an update, I think it's... everybody gets pissed off. So I think we're all collectively angry. So it brings us closer together.
But so for some reason, though this game is so riddled with glitches, and we've discussed it a little bit before, and you know, every update, there's always some issue, you know, hey, my ship's upside down. You know, what's up? And they're like, oh yeah, we'll fix that. For some reason, we're drawn to this game. We're so drawn to this game, and we continue to come back. And so for me, I think that it has to do with the social aspect. If you eliminated the social aspect of this game, I never would have made it above level 10.
Well, for sure.
I think that for a lot of people, it's being able to play and having, there's diplomacy. It is a world outside of the real world. And it's something that you can, in which you can immerse yourself, and you can just pretend, and it's nice. It really is. Oh. It's nice. It's a nice escape, and it's something you can do in the comfort of your own home.
Well, I wholly agree. If it didn't have the interaction with GC that it has, Scopely had long killed the game. It wouldn't have lasted long. That's why I'm surprised Galaxy Heroes lasted as long as it did. And like I said, I actually removed myself from the alliance I was in for there, and I spend more time on Starfleet now. And I actually have another account over on 35. That, again, because there's stuff on 34 I didn't know starting, that as you kind of pick tidbits up when you listen to what Chef says, and again, watching Rev Deuce, free promo plug, when you get if you have the ability to start a second account, you know what to do correctly. By the time I hit level 18 on my second account, it was higher up than my current account, because I knew what I had to look for and what I had to save towards in order to advance everything. So again, without that interaction amongst the community of the Galactic Chat, I wouldn't have picked up any of them tips and tricks from Dirt. I wouldn't have learned about, you know, Rev Deuce's YouTube line. So the Galactic Chat is a huge component of why Starfleet, I think, is so successful.
And I think we can also agree that some of the people that go in there kind of need to calm down with some of those things they're saying. But yeah, for the most part, it's positive. You can interact with people all throughout the game. And then, like you say, everybody has a Discord. I think I'm a member of like 15 Discords. And every one of them has a different kind of crowd of people that I'm able to interact with. And it's pretty nice.
Yeah. Well, the beautiful thing with GC is you get people that just get really overboard and they start throwing out trash talk. They've got this beautiful little feature called Block. And as I've said before, my Galactic Chat some days reads like a broken Verizon wireless commercial, because it's like you're hearing maybe a quarter of the conversation just because of all the dumbasses I've got blocked on my end.
So we found out, you know, who you are, how we found out what you... how you got involved in Star Trek, how Star Trek has impacted your life and, you know, your childhood and coming up, your favorite series, how you've discovered the game, some things that really speak to you from the Star Trek universe. So I guess one of my big questions would be, and to use it as an opportunity to kind of educate people if they don't know, what you've mentioned it a little bit, but what is the best way if someone has a question to ask you, if they want to come to you and they really want the opportunity to gain some knowledge from you, what is the best way to broach that subject, to come up with it?
In regards to being trans
or anything within the LGBT community?
The best way is to be respectful. You know, think of the question you want to ask, and if you would be offended if somebody were to ask you that question. And that's the best way you do it. Like, as long as you're respectful and polite with your question, you'll find most people in the community have no problem answering. I mean, of course, naturally, there's some taboos that people won't discuss. You know, like if you ask somebody if they're a top or a bottom, you usually get met with a glare or you get flipped off, and that's the end of the conversation. You know, you ask somebody if they've had the surgery, that'll end the conversation. It's just a matter of being respectful. As they say about going to the hospital wearing clean underwear, always be respectful and be your best. Probably the best I could do is just like be respectful about it.
Okay.
There's a lot of resources out there. For the most part, a lot of people are open to me, and of course, trans females are more, because we do have such a target. It's always been that way. You know, it's a lot of it comes back to the porn fetish, which has done nobody any favors. Just kind of be respectful. You know, most questions you usually get asked is, how did you know, or when did you know? And that's usually the biggest question most in the LGBT community will get asked. You know, how did you know you liked women? How did you know you liked men? It usually is the number one question. And it's usually a good starting point question. Because then you kind of, you know, this is what was going on in my life, and this is what I was thinking. And from there, it opens up a whole gateway of other questions.
Right, and so it opens the door for more education, so to speak.
And as I said, most of us don't bite unless it's playful.
So if there's something, I know we've asked you a barrage of questions today, and you know we really appreciate you answering these questions, and I've found it insightful, as I'm sure Tech has, and hopefully everybody listening to this has. If there are some things that we haven't covered, what do you want people listening to this to take away from this conversation, from this interview today? And what are also some things that you wish to share that hopefully may not necessarily, I hate to use the term, change people's mind, but open up their minds to maybe some different ways of thinking?
If I flirt with you, it doesn't mean I want to fuck you.
Fair enough.
And it's true, because there's a lot of people flirting like, oh, I know, I screw. And of course, when they figure out, oh, you're trans, oh my God, okay, what? Just because I flirt with you does not mean I like men. You know, like, trans lesbians do exist. Like, so sometimes flirting is just flirting. You know, like I said, there's, if you're in GC, you'll see sometimes I'll say like Wraith's name, and I'll put the smiley face with the hearts. Because I like Wraith, he's a player that makes me smile, because he's very down to earth and he's very cordial.
Wraith from MRFM?
Wraith from MRFM, yes. You know, it's older.
All right, shout out to Wraith.
Appreciate you, Wraith. Every time I message, I always do a message with a high in the heart. But that doesn't mean I want to have sex with him. But that's just, they make me smile, you know, because love has so many different levels. It's not always about sex. You know, so like, if I flirt with somebody, it's not because I'm sexually interested. It's just my nature. It's the nature of most people. I can insult as much as the next person if I wanted to. Just really not my style. But yeah, it doesn't mean that every time we talk to you, it means we want to have sex. It's not the way it is.
And what would you say to maybe a little bit of a crowd who has not, let's say, you know, you have some fans that are maybe from a region where it's a lot more rural. So maybe there are opportunities to come in contact with someone who lives different than they do. What would you say to them who are basically 100% ignorant of this?
Well, living in Redneck, Ontario, I encounter that almost daily. You cut me open, we all bleed red. We are all the same inside. You know, just because my outside didn't match the inside at birth doesn't make me any more or less of a person than you. You know, you like guns, I like girls, you like girls. We have a common ground, we both like women.
Very, very creative use of the SG-1 phrase.
Hmm?
And for those of you that don't know, there was a line in Star Trek, or Stargate SG-1 rather, where Colonel Samantha Carter tells, or she was a captain at the time, she tells Colonel Jack O'Neill, just because my reproductive organs are on the inside, not the outside, doesn't mean I can't handle what you can handle.
And that is true.
I'm totally lost, ladies and gentlemen, my nerdy partner.
Yeah, so that was a different sci-fi series. Anybody who knows Stargate SG-1 will understand. Anybody who hasn't seen it yet, go watch it. What would you say, Mara, to people who, you know, are either ignorant or still ignorant or just do not know? How would you, and I kind of want to bring this into a kind of Star Trek frame of reference. How would you guide them in, you know, forwarding them what themes should you look out for if you watch Star Trek the next time that would kind of open your mind to other people and how they live and how they want to be who they are?
Interesting question. You know, I've always tried to live, it's always been said, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. You can point out all the obvious signs and just some people don't care to speak. I guess just look at anyone's struggle that a character has. Right? Even Deanna Troi, with her empath abilities, she struggled with it because sometimes she'd be over flooded with emotions. And it's just kind of learning to see how they deal with their surroundings. You know, and it's not just about you. You can't always have your head in the sand because eventually you're just going to suffocate on dirt. Not the Alliance dirt, but dirt.
So in other words, you can... It's just the fact, just overcoming an obstacle or adversity is...
Yeah, it's taking the blinders off. And instead of, think of it as widescreen TV versus standard. Standard view, you lose so much of the background. And when you go into widescreen or letterbox, you see more of what's around it. So you take the blinders off and you see more of what's around you. You know, you can't see the forest for the tree in front of you. You look past that tree and see the rest of the forest.
So, in other words, instead of just looking for a particular, as he was saying, like a theme of something, just try to, looking at things with an open mind will assist you in that manner.
Well, exactly, and that's what Star Trek was based on, was kind of opening the mind up and expanding the horizons. You know, like...
Pretend your data and try to understand humor.
Yeah. Well, exactly. There could be 5 million versions of the Dukes of Hazzard, but you only have so many cars jumping over dirt lamps. And that was the big thing, because Star Trek was groundbreaking. I mean, that had the Forbidden Planet and all that, but they didn't really broach any taboo subjects. You know? And then Star Trek did. And again, coming back to Uhura and Kirk, and there was a huge uproar over that. You know? Nowadays, nobody thinks twice about it. You know, maybe there's another Star Trek series coming along where there is going to be an open lesbian couple and they'll be the lead actresses on it. Who knows? Yeah, like, it's Star Trek's always been a progressive series.
Well, at the end of Star Trek Picard, who was it, Seven and Raffi were seen together. So maybe that will be explored in season 2.
Well, like I said, it's come a long way since the 60s. You know, I think Gene Roddenberry would be proud of how the franchise has gone on.
All right. Well, Tech, that's it from me.
And as always, I'll close with, you know, I really appreciate you coming on, because it does take courage to expose oneself for who they are. So, and like I said, I always thank all the guests for coming on and showing who they are behind the screen name. We can all hide behind the anonymity of texting.
There is one thing that I want to say in closing. I was done with questions. The one thing I do, I want to speak to people listening to this. My partner, Tech, and I have vastly differing opinions, and we don't discuss those. We'll discuss them in private, and we have our own private debates. But we have various beliefs from anywhere from politics to religion to social issues and things like that. But as you can see, we're still able to come together, find a common ground, and he and I talk regularly, not just about the show. We talk about other things. So in that, I want people to start thinking in terms of, what can I find that I have in common with other people, instead of trying to peg yourself to one group where everybody believes the same thing? It's boring. You will not learn anything. You cannot educate yourself. So I want the takeaway from this to be, try to go out, talk to someone who's different than you, who thinks something different, who lives maybe a different way or believes a different thing. And I think as long as you can keep an open mind, I think you'll be able to learn something, and it'll be a positive impact on your life.
Well, I agree. Go speak to people, interact.
So, Mara, you have the last word. Anything you'd like to say?
Live long and prosper. See you on the battlefield.
Perfect. Appreciate that. Again, this has been Trek Talk with Tech and Kirk. I'm Tech Man 16.
And I'm Strange Kirk.
And we'll see you guys next time.